Welcome to this Happy Home Podcast. I'm Arlene Pellicane. Are you tired of living as a stressed out mommy? Wish you could hear something in just 15 minutes to fix your parenting woes? Well, you've come to the right place, my friend. America's leading family expert, John Roseman, is with me today to reveal what you might be doing wrong as a mom and how to make it right. Well, I'm so glad you're here to join me for this month's Happy Home Podcast. A special shout out to those of you from Hearts at Home. Well, you know, this summer I have a new book coming out. It's called 31 Days to Becoming a Happy Mom. I said this title to one of the parents at school, and the father said, "Oh, you're writing a fictional book." But no, my friends, it's a nonfiction book, and we really are going to talk about how you can become a happier mom. And for the book, I have interviewed several parenting experts, and mostly mothers themselves, but I made an exception for the person that you'll hear today on the podcast who is not a mother, but who certainly has a lot of good advice for us, and that is psychologist and author John Roseman. John Roseman has been a psychologist since 1971. He's worked with families, children, and parents. Since 1990, he started writing. He writes a nationally syndicated column, and he also has authored several books, such as The Well-Behaved Child, which I highly recommend, Teen Proofing, which I'm reading right now, and Parenting by the Book. And recently, I was able to meet him at a conference in San Diego, so I was able to ask him some questions. And I tell you what, his teaching about parenting is so common sense oriented. It is just good old plain common sense that it is revolutionary in today's confusing world of parenting. So with no further ado, let's jump in. And the first question that I asked John, you know, I've heard him talk about this good mommy club, what it means to be a good mommy. And he kind of turns it on its head. So let's begin with what does it mean to be part of the good mommy club?
Well, it's my feeling that women, once they have children, they begin unwittingly subscribing to the doctrine of what I call the Good Mommy Club. And the doctrine includes such ideas as the good mommy pays as much attention to her child as she possibly can. The good mommy does as much for her child as she possibly can. The good mommy drives her child to as many developmentally enriching after-school activities as she possibly can. The good mommy helps her child with his homework every night so that he takes flawless papers back to school. The good mommy solves all of her child's problems, and so on and so forth. And it's my contention, Arlene, that parenting, the raising of a child, is not stressful if you have a clear understanding of the reality of children, and you have a consequently clear understanding of your responsibilities towards your children. Subscription to the Good Mommy Club guarantees that a woman is going to experience the raising of children as highly stressful. And thus the complaint that is ubiquitous in American mother culture today from women, even women with one children: this is wearing me out, this is the hardest thing I've ever done, and so on and so forth. When I hear that from a woman, I often point out that her grandmother, great-grandmother may have raised 3 to 4 times as many children as she is raising, and would never have said that, would never have said that the raising of children was unusually stressful or unusually difficult or taking any sort of daily emotional toll on her. And therefore, the stress that she's feeling doesn't have anything to do with children per se. It has to do with her understanding of her responsibilities towards her kids. And the purpose of all this, you know, I describe my mission as that of, it's in two parts: mother liberation and marriage restoration. The good membership in the Good Mommy Club causes a woman to, and again, unwittingly, over-focus on her child or children to such an extent that her marriage becomes neglected. And I'm convinced that this is a major contributor to infidelity on the part of the male, number one, and number two, to the divorce rate in America. And I hear people talk about this. They hear me when I give a talk about this. And the title of the talk that I give is "You're More Than Just a Mom," with an exclamation point at the end. Women and who populate the audience primarily come up to me afterwards and say, as did a woman just 2 days ago in Jacksonville, Florida, "If I had heard you 10 years ago, John, if I had heard this 10 years ago, I might still be married to my first husband." And it's really, the membership in the Good Mommy Club is extremely, you know, in addition to causing an overfocus on the child, is extremely limiting to a woman. It renders her into nothing but basically a servant to her children. And they consequently do not develop a lot of respect for her. They take her for granted. They learn to manipulate her. It sets the stage, I believe, for adults and especially adult males who don't have a lot of respect for women.
John, you're talking in a way that runs counter to what we typically hear. You know, we hear, do more for your child, give your child attention. You know, what are the real responsibilities that we have as mothers?
In the context of this talk, "You're More Than Just a Mom," that women have two obligations to their children, you know, over and above seeing to it that they are properly cared for in the most practical sense of the term. They are obligated, they are responsible to teach their children that women are interesting people and that authority resides legitimately in the female, in women. And I believe that membership in the Good Mommy Club prevents a woman from accomplishing either of those objectives. My advice to women is very, very simple. It is, look, the covenant relationship is not the mother-child relationship. The covenant relationship in the family is that of husband and wife. And if you put that relationship first and you function primarily as wife in your family, then in fact you will be a better mother, just as it is the case that a man who functions primarily as husband within the family, who pays most of his attention to his wife, who adopts an attitude of service toward his wife and humility within his marriage, is going to be a better father. There is nothing that puts a more solid foundation of security and well-being under a child's feet than the knowledge that his parents are in a committed relationship. It doesn't have to be a perfect relationship. It just has to be obvious that these two people are committed to one another and committed to working out any problems that arise in the course of their marriage.
The fifth commandment of the Ten Commandments says to honor your father and mother. You know, our culture is not doing a great job in honoring our fathers and our mothers. You just have to look at the grocery store or inside a typical home to see that. Talk about the importance. What's the significance of this fifth commandment?
It's an interesting commandment because it's the only one that comes with a promise from God. It says, "And you will live long in the land the Lord God has given you." And this is what that means in part is that by carrying on family traditions and adhering to fundamental traditional understandings of how a family should operate, that this actually, when it's multiplied by millions of families, this is how you stabilize and perpetuate and sustain culture. you live long in the land the Lord God has given you because you respect these traditions and you carry them on. And it is so vitally important to the strength of any culture that its child-rearing traditions are perpetuated from one generation to the next. Those child-rearing traditions, in the final analysis, they define the culture, and they differentiate the culture from other cultures. America broke with established child-rearing tradition in the late 60s and early 70s, and we headed down a path described to us by psychologists and other mental health professionals. And we ought to be waking up at this point to the fact that this new child-rearing that we embraced in the late 60s and 70s, which was termed parenting in 1970, has been disastrous for children. It's been disastrous for the American marriage. It's been disastrous for the American school. One statistic that I bring up is that today's children, when compared with children in the 1950s, and even accounting for reporting error, are 10 times more likely by age 16 to experience a serious emotional setback. Traditional parenting wasn't perfect because there's nothing that human beings can do that's going to be universally perfect. But there is validity to the idea that it was better, which is something that people resist because this is a very progressive time in history. And people are skeptical of the idea that there was anything better about the so-called good old days, but all of the statistics on child mental health indicate that children in the 1950s who were raised in the 1950s were mentally, emotionally, a lot sturdier than today's kid.
All right, John, there is a mom listening and she's like, okay, I want to get on board. I want to do something. What's something she could do in her home, an experiment perhaps that she could start?
You know, one of the exercises that I suggest to women is that they pick a day and inform their children first thing in the morning, a non-school day, that this is International Mommy Take a Day Off Day, and that she is going to be unable to do anything for her children that day but, you know, fix them meals and provide them with supervision. She's not going to be able to play with them. She's not going to be able to sit down and talk with them. She can answer questions, yes or no, but that's it. And basically to completely ignore her children all day long, other than providing just basic fundamental care. And then, and to tell her children if they come and ask her for any attention that I'm really sorry, but today is International Mommy Take a Day Off Day. You'll have to wait until tomorrow for that. And to ask themselves, and I've actually had women do this, and to ask themselves when the day is over and the kids are in bed, are the kids okay? Are they okay, or did they collapse psychologically into, you know, little heaps of psychological dysfunction at 3 o'clock in the afternoon? And the answer is the kids are fine. And to use that exercise to begin bringing what I call some benevolent neglect into our children's lives, and in so doing to begin meeting her own needs more effectively, and to help her children begin learning to stand on their own 2 feet.
Okay, this is sounding pretty good. I know some moms are going to want to do this every few weeks, at least a few times a year, maybe.
Well, you can have it once a month, you know. It's like, you know, it's once a month. But what happens is that the woman who does this, and I've gotten this feedback, they, you know, within 2 weeks, International Mommy Take a Day Off Day, is happening nearly every day. And the kids are happy, and they're playing on their own, and they're occupying themselves, and they're solving their own problems. And, you know, life goes on, and life not only goes on, but it's a better life for everybody concerned.
All right, dear moms, get your calendars out. It's time to schedule that first International Mommy Take a Day Off Day. Maybe we could all decide on a day together. I hope and trust that you've gotten some good ideas to get you out of the good mommy club and have you start enjoying your role as a mom more. Many times we find ourselves doing things that we were really never meant to do. We're overdoing for our children, and we think we're helping them, but in many ways we handicap them when we do too much for them. So I highly recommend any of John Roseman's books. While you're waiting for mine to come out, start reading John Roseman's, please. And remember, my new book, 31 Days to Becoming a Happy Mom, comes out August 2015. Each month I'll continue to share with you tips from experts who are quoted in the book. You are going to love it. So I trust that you've been encouraged by this time together. Please invite other moms to listen to this free Happy Home podcast. And if you like it, take a moment to write a brief review on iTunes. That would be fabulous. Until we get together again, remember, you too can have a happy home.